All right, Parashat Pinchas, you have the title of Letters Big, Small, and Broken. We're going to see why. Before we take a look at the specifics in the parasha, I want to turn our attention to the Rambam and what he has to say about the letters, extraordinary letters in the Torah. The Rambam in his Hilchot Tefillin U'Mezuzah and Sefer Torah, he's talking about Hilchot Stam. The Rambam says, V'yizahar ba'otiyot ha'gdolot u'ba'otiyot ha'ktanot u'ba'otiyot ha'nekudot u'ba'otiyot ha'mishunot kegon ha'pein ha'alvufot va'otiyot ha'kumot kemo she'etiku ha'sofrim ish mipi ish. The Rambam, while talking about the way that the text is written in the Torah, so he says you should be careful to write the letters the way that the Masorah says to write it. In other words, the way that the Masoretes, the people who keep a tradition about the way that the Torah is supposed to be written, you should be careful to write it in those ways. So if there are some letters that are supposed to be big, make sure they're big. If there are some letters that are supposed to be small, make sure they're small. If they're supposed to be crooked or upside down or sideways, whatever it is, make sure to do it like that. Now, he does mention, while it is important to do this, he says, this is just for the best. In other words, lechatchila. The best thing is for you to do it this way. However, im shina b'tikun zeh, if, however, you don't do exactly the way the Masorah says it, the big ones aren't too big, the small ones aren't small, or there's a stuma, or there's a ptucha where it's not supposed to be, he nevertheless ends and says, Hareze Sefer Kasher. Now the Rama echoes the Rambam and says, there are things that were recorded from Ish Mipi Ish, traditionally known that you write letters in a certain way, and you have to be careful about that. However, these are all the mitzvah, v'im shina lo pasal. If you change it and you don't do it that way, then it's not going to be pasal. Okay. So, what we're talking about tonight are letters that are out of the ordinary in the Torah. So, let's take a quick survey. Name for me, any of you, some of the letters that you know in the Torah that are a little bit different than other letters. Too big, too small, shape, misshapen, in some way. What are the most famous ones that you know?
Aleph, Aleph. Which small one? Aleph. The small Aleph.
Small Aleph where? I heard a small Aleph.
Small Aleph.
Small Aleph, I heard. Where is there a small Aleph?
Vayikra.
Vayikra. Good. Vayikra, small Aleph. That's probably the
anonim,
most famous one.
Anonim Afuchim.
Anonim Afuchim. In Baalotcha. Nunim Afuchim, that is a good one. It's a little strange, though, because it's not, I mean, those are not letters that we read. They're kind of just in the text. Good point. Anything else? Any other famous ones? None? Nobody ever read Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad in the Torah? You didn't notice that the ayin of Shema and the Dalet of Echad are both large.
Ed
or Da. Depends if you're the Rambam or the Ramban. Depends where you fall in the rationalism versus traditionalism angle. Right? Either Da or Ed. But what if I were to tell you that in Parashat Pinchas, there is a letter that is strange. Would you believe me? If I said there's one letter in Parashat Pinchas that is different than all the other letters. Would you believe me? Yes or no?
Sure, we'll believe you, Rabbi.
No, you shouldn't believe me because it's not true. What if I were to tell you that there were two letters in Parashat Pinchas that are strange? Would you believe me?
I believe I'm being set up.
You shouldn't believe me because there are actually three, not one, not two, but three letters in Parashat Pinchas that are strange, which as far as I'm concerned, has got to be a record. I haven't actually checked, but I assume it's got to be a record. And we have big, small, and broken. That's what we have in Parashat Pinchas. And we're going to go through the three of them. What we should keep in mind when we go through these is that, number one, we have to figure out, you know, how sure are we of this tradition? In other words, how clear is it that we should be writing letters in these ways? Another thing we have to think about is, what's the thought? Like, why are we writing the letters in this way? What's the message being sent? And of course, last idea is maybe what happens if it's not written the right way? Now, we kind of already saw in the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama and the Rambam that we aren't so makbid b'diavad. But let's see inside. So the first one that we're going to look at, we're going to go a little bit out of order. What we have in our parasha is broken, big and small. Who knows which letter is broken? You might have seen it already. Which letter in the parasha is broken? Anybody know? All right, so it's nobody's bar mitzvah parasha. That's become very clear. Parashat Pinchas is not the bar mitzvah parasha of any of the people on this call. So it's a broken vav. Okay? Where is it? So right at the beginning of the parasha, Lachein Amor, Hini Noten Lo Et Briti Shalom. So the vav of shalom is broken. Okay? Or at least that's what it's called. How do we know that it's broken? The Gemara actually says it. In other words, the Talmud Bavli Kiddushin, Daf Samach Vav Amud Bet, in a different context, you know, it's a larger context over there, but it says, Baal Mum Davodato Psula Min Alan. How do we know that if a Kohen, who is a Baal Mum, which means he's got a broken limb or he's got a blemish of some kind, he's a Baal Mum and he does the Avodah, how do we know that the Avodah is Pasul? In other words, Bidi Avad, it doesn't work. Amar Av Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Amar Kra, Shalom. What are we supposed to learn from that? How are we supposed to learn from the fact that Hashem gave Pinchas a covenant of peace that a Kohen who has a Baal Mum, that his avoda is pasul? Because it says Keshu Shalem velo Keshahu Chaser. Oh, Hineni noten et briti Shalem. My covenant is complete, which means that Pinchas, who had just become a Kohen, he got Brit Kunat Olam, so he's only going to be a Kohen when he is Shalem. His Avodah is only good when he's Shalem, and not when he's a Baal Mum. What's the problem? That's not what the Torah says. V'hashalom k'tiv, but it doesn't say Shalem. It says Shalom. Amar Rav Nachman, Vav de Shalom k'tiyahi. What does k'tiyah mean? Anybody know? What's k'tiyah?
It's broken.
Broken, but actually more literally, what does it mean more literally, David?
Cut.
Right? Nikta. Yeah. Cut. It means literally cut, which is going to cause us some trouble. But here you have in the English over here, that basically this Gemara says is a record that the Vav of Shalom is meant to be Kiti'ah. As far as I know, I did a quick search on Bar-Ilan and I looked online as well and I didn't see anything. This is the only place in Shas where we find out about a letter being big or small or broken or anything or something special about it. Everything else comes from Midrashim or Masechet Sofrim or from other sources. This is the only place in Shas where it actually records that a certain letter, it has to be a little bit different. You know, if I'm mistaken, you can correct me. But as far as I know, this is the only place. So this is the most traditional of the changes. Now, what does Kiti'ah mean literally? So the Marsha, in his commentary, he says that the Vav Kiti'ah is Kiyud. V'karinan Shalim, Shehu Targumo Shel Tamim, Hefech Baal Mum. So the Marsha kind of goes like this. It's very interesting. The Marsha says, first of all, Kiti'ah doesn't mean broken. It means cut off. What happens when you cut off a Vav a little bit too early? What does it turn into? A yud. It turns into a yud. So he says, it actually says shalim. It doesn't say shalem. It says shalim. Now, why is it important that it says shalim? Because shalim is like tamim, which is perfect, which is the opposite of a baal mum. It's interesting that the Marsha should give this explanation because the Gemara says, kishuhu shalim, velo kishuhu chaser. And we would have totally expected that v'hashalom k'tiv would become shalim. But what the Marsha is saying, it becomes shalim. In other words, we don't ignore the Vav. We treat it exactly like a Yud. That's one explanation.
How can you say Shalem? I mean, Shalem is without a Yud. Nobody would think that Shalem, you write with a Yud.
Well, what if the Vav was broken instead of cut at the bottom? What would you say about the Vav?
No, I'm just saying that. I'm just saying that you can't say that the Marsha is like is out of order. I mean, you can't say that he says Shalim, but it's not Shalem. No,
but Shalim is Targumo Shel Tamim. Shalim is how you say in Aramaic, you say Tamim. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to say Tamim in Aramaic, you would say Shalim. So it's a word.
Oh, got
it's not in Hebrew.
Right, got it.
It's a hint, okay?
Got it.
Is what the Gemara is going for. Now, it could be that the Gemara is, you know, it's an asmachta. It's not a straight up drasha. It's not exactly clear from the Gemara. We're going to get into that. Now, the Maribe Rav has a little bit of a different take. Vav de Shalom Ketia, Lav Perish Zi'ir, Zi'arta, Ela Shehikamo Yud, Bekari Be Shalim. Now, he basically says the same thing as the Maharsha. It's not a small Vav. It's that it becomes a Yud. All right, so the Maribe Rav is making it even clearer than the Maharsha. That you might think that, oh, it's just a small Vav. So it's a Vav, but in miniature, like an Aleph that's in miniature. No. The Maribe Rav says, no, it's a short Vav. And a short Vav is a Yud. Fine. Now, the Minchat Shai is the most well-known of the books of Masorah. It's often printed in Tikkunim, if you want to read. So he has like all the special things that you need to know about how to read and how the text is written. So it was written by Yedidya Shlomo ben Avram Norzi, right? 1560 to 1626, as you can see. And what Wikipedia has to say about him is that he traveled all around the world finding manuscripts and consulting with different experts about what the Masorah, the true Masorah, should be. So this is one of the primary sources for Masorah. So he says first, he's going to give us two theories. He says, Mikra Gdola Vav Zuktana. He says in the Sefer Mikra Gdola, the Vav is small. And he says also in the Sefer Alpha Beta De Otiot Ktanot, there's a Sefer that records all the small letters in the Torah. And this Vav is listed in that section, which means that it's being read as being a small Vav, a small Vav. And elsewhere as well, in many different places, it's recorded as being a small Vav. However, he quotes the Gemara, and the Gemara says, Vav de Shalom Ketiehi, and he says, Pirush lo ketana kashar otiot ketanot shebetorah. It's not a small letter, like the other small letters in the Torah. Rakadola kashar otiot ele sheragla katsar kazeh shalom. He says, it's a regular size Vav, but it gets cut in the middle. In other words, it's a Vav that just gets cut in the middle, but it's not a small Vav. But then there's another theory, and this is going to be what I think most people are familiar with. There's Ramei Rabu Lafia, Keman de Katua Bepalge. What's Katua Bepalge? That means cut. Cut in half. That means cut in half.
Cut in the middle, I think.
Right. That means cut in the middle. Now, he quotes others who also say that it's really just short. But then he quotes this Aleph Tet. I forget the name of the Sefer. Ratmuna Cheret, Leneged Einav, B'Sefer Muga Kazu. Somebody said that they actually saw the word Shalom. Dahainu Shechatchua L'Shnaim. It was cut in half. It was in two pieces. V'dayin Shnei Chatzayim Sham. This actually works best in the Gemara because the word ketia means cut. And it doesn't necessarily mean cut off. It means cut in the middle. And he even says that it could be that there's another version of the Ritva, which is actually the version that we have, where the Ritva says kruta bintayim. Because if not, then it would just be called zirta. You can actually see the Ritva right here. I have the Ritva over here. Ritva says nira pirusho shekarut bintayim. Okay, so the Ritva understands the Gemara as meaning that it's cut in the middle and there's two parts to the Vav. There's a part of the Vav on the top and a part of the Vav on the bottom. And by the way, the Minchat Shai says he actually saw it in an old Sefer Torah, a Sephardi Sefer Torah, that it was written cut in half. But he's seen different versions. Okay, so you see that there's machloket about what exactly it means. I actually have a picture over here of the different possibilities. You have one that looks just like a yud, okay? There's one that starts to come down, so it's kind of like a shortened vav. It's cut in the middle. Then you have one that it looks like somebody basically scraped away some of the ink. This one actually looks like somebody wrote the top and then wrote the bottom. That's number three. Then number four looks like somebody scraped away the ink. Number five, so it looks like somebody scraped into the vav in the middle. And then number six, I don't know. Looks like somebody scraped at the bottom. But if you look over here, Shalom, with the Vav kind of in two pieces, this is how it's very often written in many Sefer Torah. I think this is the most prevalent way that it's written. In two pieces, like that. Now, Rabbi Kiva Eger makes two points. Rabbi Kiva Eger makes one point, and he says, how come, he quotes Svarim on this, how come the Rambam doesn't mention anything about this Vav? He doesn't list it anywhere as being an important thing to do, to cut it in the middle. And neither does the Riff or anybody. Why does nobody write about it? So he says, and this is a bit of a complicated point, I'll go through it quickly, but I don't want to get bogged down. He says, the Gemara used this Vav to prove that a Baal Mum Kohen, that his Avodah is Psula. Right? That's where we started. But what if you had another source for a Baal Mum's Avodah being Psula? What would that mean for this Vav? It would mean that it doesn't matter if it's Ketiyah, because it's not necessary. We have another way of knowing it. And he points out that there's a machloket in the Gemara. And he says it could be, and it must be actually, that the Rambam paskins like the other side. The Rambam paskins that there's another source for a Kohen Baal Mum's Avodah being, let me read that again. Avuah d'shmol d'yalif mikra d'varech Hashem chelo afilu chalem shevachazeu shayach rak le'inin chalal v'baal mum min ha-Torah lomar shehu kasher. One second. Right. I think the Rambam disagrees and says, that the avod of a Baal Mum is kasher, I think is what he says. And therefore, basically the Vav is irrelevant. So the Rambam doesn't mention it, which just leads the Rebbe Kivager. Say again?
Why couldn't you say that it's even more important if there's a much more dominant proof of it? The addition of this when it's not needed must mean it has some added meaning. Otherwise, it would be redundant and the Torah doesn't have to repeat itself.
No, we would only be learning it from the Vav. We'd only be learning it from the broken Vav. The Gemara seems to be learning from the broken Vav, but the Rambam doesn't require a broken Vav.
You said somebody made the same point more strongly elsewhere, that the prayer is invalid. So right. Why would it need to be mentioned in a weaker form unless it had an additional meaning to the stronger one?
No, but it's not mentioned. The Rambam doesn't mention the Vav as being Ketiyah. So there's nothing to learn from it.
Right, but the others do.
Right, so they disagree with the Rambam, maybe. Could be that they disagree with the Rambam. They hold that this is the most important thing, that the Limud for the Baal Mum is learned from this Vav. That would be the understanding. It's just a side point that Rabbi Kiva Eger makes about why the Rambam doesn't mention it. More importantly, perhaps, the Rabbi Kiva Eger really goes, I don't want to say he goes ballistic, but he gets really upset about people who do a cut Vav. He is insistent, really insistent, that the Vav should just be a small Vav, like a Yud. Basically, he says, like a Yud. And he says, it's actually a funny Shaila. Somebody actually wrote to him that he had a Sefer Torah, and the word Briti Shalom was with a short Vav, right? Shalom Avav Katsar Mishari Avavin. And then the next day he came back and some sofer had come in and cut the Vav. Okay? And he made a cut Vav. So he wrote to Rabbi Kiva Eger, what's going on? So Rabbi Kiva Eger said this sofer made a big mistake. He thinks that it's supposed to be a cut Vav, but it's not true. And he mentions the Marsha, and he mentions the Ritva, and he mentions Rabbi Mechayi, who also says that it should just be a small Vav. And he gets really, really upset. And he even says, at the end, he says, actually, Ani Omer Behipuch, the Ha'osek Edat or Torah, that it should be cut. Yesh Chashash Psul Gadol, the Ha'eno Vav Klau. He says, I think that it's very possible that if you do a broken Vav, that the Sefer Torah is going to be Pasul. Because it's a Vav, but it's cut in half. And so he actually thinks that it's a bad idea to do a cut Vav. Rabbi Kiva Eger. So let's get into the understandings of why it should be a broken Vav. It's funny, but almost everybody who has anything to say about this broken Vav or the small Yud, whatever it is, basically ignores the Gemara. Almost everybody ignores the Gemara and comes up with their own idea of why the Vav should be broken. Okay, so for example, it's from the Sefer Daf al Daf, which is a Sefer on Daf Yomi. So it quotes Rabbi Pinchas Mikaritz, who says that the phrase teku, does everybody here know what the phrase teku is usually understood as meaning? Teku is what shows up in the Gemara when there's a question that goes unanswered. We say we don't know the answer, so teku. It entered modern Hebrew as meaning a tie, like in a soccer game, there's a tie, teku. But it actually comes from the Aramaic and the Gemara. And everybody was taught when they were kids that teku stands for Tishbi Yitaretz Kushiot Vabayot, which means Tishbi is Eliyahu HaNavi, that, oh, we don't know the answer to this question, but when Eliyahu HaNavi comes, he'll tell us the answers to all of these questions. So he says, where did this come from? Hinei mevur b'ketuvim dekushya hishvura. That kushya is another word for broken. Okay? So kushya is broken. V'imkein kishemetareta kushya hare nasa minishbar shalem v'yadua de pinchas Eliyahu. Okay, so we make a double jump. We say, first of all, kushya is like broken. And when you fix something that's broken, you make it shalem. And second of all, we know that there's a tradition based on the Zohar that Pinchas is Eliyahu. That Pinchas, who shows up later in Tanakh, is the same Pinchas. And then eventually he becomes Eliyahu because there are textual similarities between the stories of Pinchas and Eliyahu and because they're both Kanaim, right? And so he says that Pinchas will one day become Eliyahu, and then Eliyahu will one day come and answer up all of our questions. Tishbi Yitaretz Kol HaKushiyot VaBayot, which is a kind of way of fixing that which is broken. So the shalom, the broken vav, will become complete in the future. All right? Now, it also makes the point that in virtually all of the Sifrei Torah and Ashkenaz, the vav is broken or small, but in Teman, it's not at all. There's no all the Sifrei Torah of Teman, the word shalom, the vav, is normal. Anybody want to try to take a guess at why specifically Teman? I have a theory. Pretty sure it's true. I don't even have to look it up to guess. Anybody want to take a guess why specifically Teman, the vav might be complete and not broken and not small? Come on, what do we know about Teman? Say again, Jake?
Oh, yeah, he's already here. He's already solving the problem.
If Eliyahu came anywhere, he came to Teman. What else do we know about Temanim? Who do the Temanim follow more than anybody else?
The Rambam.
And what did Rabbi Akiva Eiger say about the Rambam? What did he point out?
Why ignore the Gemara?
Yeah, the Rambam doesn't have the Vav Ketia. He doesn't have it at all. He doesn't mention anything about it. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger went so far as to say, yeah, it's because the Rambam basically rules against our Gemara. And so the Vav Ketia doesn't exist in the Rambam. And I'm assuming very strongly that that's why the Sifrei Teman didn't have the Vav Ketia. They also tell in this Daf Al Daf, they tell a story that one time Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, he saw that they did not do the Vav Ketia. And they were very upset because it wasn't the Temani Yishul. So he suggested that they simply basically write, what did he say? He says elongate the other letters in Shalom, the Shin, Lamed, and Mem. Somehow make them a little bit bigger, and then the Vav will be small. Okay, I don't exactly know how this gets done, because, I mean, what are you going to do? Fatten the bottom of the Shin and the bottom of the Mem? Like, how does this exactly work? I don't know, but that's a story that was given. In terms of other rimazim and nice little ideas that you can say at the table about the Vav, so one of them is based on a Tosfot in Zvachim. The Tosfot in Zvachim talks about Pinchas, and it says that from the time of Moshe, Pinchas had basically most of the Kohanim Gedolim came from the family of Pinchas. How many? So he says, actually, during the Bayit Rishon, there were 80 Kohanim that came from Pinchas, and there were 300 in the Bayit Sheni period, and they were all from Pinchas. All came from Pinchas's line. Why is it important that it's 380? Who's good with math? What's the gematria of the word shalom? Shin, lamed, vav, mem. No? Shin, lamed, vav, mem. What does it come out?
376.
But what happens if you turn the vav into a yud?
Right. 380.
Very nice. 380 kohanim. So Briti Shalom, Briti Kunat Olam. So that would be a remez over here, that if you turn Shalom into Shalim, right, like the Marsha says, if it becomes a Yud, so then you get 380 Kohanim Gdolim that came from Pinchas. The Baal HaTurim, I think, says some of the more famous things over here. He says that it's Shalim, Bivav Ketia, Kishu Shalim. So he says it's a Yud. Davar Acher, Matana Shleima, Ninotein Lo, Yud Matanot B'Mikdash, Yud B'Medina. He's given 10 matanot in the Mikdash and 10 in the Medina. I'm not actually sure if the Baal HaTurim is saying that we should look at it as like two yuds, because like a yud on the top and yud on the bottom, but I don't think so. I think he's just saying it's one yud, so there's 10 gifts that are given to Pinchas because he's a Kohen. However, he gives another theory, which is I think the one that most people know. The Vav Ketia is Ki Pinchas Hu Eliyahu. How does this work? So there's a small Vav over here, and it says, V'chein Eliyah k'tiv chaser vav. Very often, Eliyahu is written without a vav. Okay, V'yakov malei vav. Shnatal vav me'Eliyahu. The word Yaakov sometimes is written, in one time is written with a vav. He took the vav from Eliyahu. L'mashkon, ad sheyavo im ha-mashiach v'geilat banav. So Yaakov took the vav from Pinchas, from Eliyahu. Fine. He finishes off just with this pasuk, v'zehu yagel Yaakov yismach Yisrael. The word yismach is the same letters as the word Mashiach, that we should be happy when Eliyahu comes with Mashiach, and then he'll get the vav back. And then the vav will be shalem. So here you go. He went all the way around just to get there. That for now, Pinchas' vav is broken, because Pinchas is Eliyahu, and his vav is broken, and in the future, it's going to be complete. And that's the meaning of v'zehu yagel Yaakov yismach Yisrael. Okay. I just wanted to make two more points. One from Rav Hirsch, who gives, I guess, the most pshat-based one. Rav Hirsch says that because Pinchas's act was an act that was supposed to cause shalom, so he says, "Brit Pinchas hi hashalom shehuchzar l'shleimuto." It returned to its completion. In other words, he sees shalom as shalem. Rav Hirsch, he says, The peace amongst Bnei Israel was broken, and when Pinchas did what he did, it became shalem. So he kind of removes the vav completely. He makes it into a small vav. It's not even a yud. It just becomes shalem. So the shalom becomes shalem. The one person that I found who's actually critical of Pinchas is the Hamak Davar, the Netziv. He says it's shalom keti'ah, which means cut, and he says, because midat b'mesh ayah b'midat ha-shalom yoter mi-ha-ra'oi, sometimes he is too peaceful. There's such a thing as too much peace. When was Pinchas too peaceful? So as I said before, Pinchas is a character in Chumash, but he's also someone who shows up in Navi. And according to tradition, it's the same person. And when he shows up in Shoftim, shelo kine b'mei ha-shoftim al pesel micha. The Pinchas that we know and love is a fiery person, you know, who whenever he sees something going wrong, he gets up and he does something about it. But in the story of Pesel Micha, he didn't get up and do anything about it. That shalom was supposed to be Pinchas' calling card. But sometimes if you become too peaceful, so then you become complacent and a little bit too timid. They don't do things when you're supposed to do them. So the Netziv actually thinks that the broken vav here is a criticism of Pinchas, at least going forward into the future. Okay, so that's the vav. All right, but I promised you that there were three extraordinary letters in the parasha. Did anybody take a chance to look up what the other two might be? So we did the broken. So let's do the big. Okay, there's a big letter in the parasha. Where's the big letter? It's in the middle. There's a big nun. When Bnei Israel are getting the portions, getting their portions in Eretz Israel and Eretz Kna'an, so one family comes to Moshe Rabbeinu to complain. That's the family of Tzlafchad, the Benot Tzlafchad. They come to Moshe and say, you know, we're only daughters. Our father didn't have any sons and he's gone. So what are we going to do? Our entire portion is going to go somewhere else. Our family is going to lose out. So Moshe Rabbeinu agrees that he's going to go talk to Hashem. So it says, Vayakrev Moshe et Mishpatan lifnei Hashem. The nun here, this nun sofit, is a big nun in the Chumash and in the Torah. Minchat Shai, that we saw before, nun rabati. It's a big nun. Now, as I said, this is not anywhere in the Gemara. You're not going to find it anywhere. He says, Matzati b'mesarot me'alfa beta rabati. There's a sefer that has all of the large letters, and it's listed there. And he even gives a reason. V'hatam l'fi sha'amar Moshe mimeni yilmedu hakol shetaliti hadavar b'rav gadol. So in this pasuk of Ve'akrev Moshe et mishmatan lifnei Hashem, we're supposed to pay attention to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't judge this on his own. He brings it to his Rebbe. Who's Moshe Rabbeinu's Rebbe? That's Hashem. So he says, you know, learn from me not to, you know, be too self-reliant. That when a hard question comes your way, don't be too embarrassed to go speak to a Rav Gadol, someone who's greater than you.
Yeah, but it doesn't explain why the nun. You could have chosen any other letter, right?
He doesn't. He doesn't explain why the nun specifically, but the next one does. V'tov mizeh yesh lomar, maybe that's why he likes this one better, David. It says, shenun mishpatan rabta levishanela mimosha shar hanun. It's actually not a criticism, but at least something not flattering about Moshe Rabbeinu, that it was at this moment that he lost one of the 50 levels of Bina. Okay? Ne'elam mimoshe shar hanun. Kedita b'perakama de Rosh Hashanah, perak dalet de nedarim, that there are 50 shari Bina, nivru ba'olam, v'kulam nidnu lemoshe misinai chaser echad. He got all 50 except for one. Shneimar v'techaser ha'me'at melokim. He's not, you know, quite like Elokim. Okay, so in other words, this big nun is supposed to signify that this was beyond him. This one thing, he didn't know anything about. The rule for B'nat Zlofchad. Let's skip the Nitziv for now, we don't need it. The Shir Ma'on, which is a sefer, I think, from the family of the Chatam Sofer. I don't think it's the Chatam Sofer himself, but I think it's a record of some of the things that he said. So he gives a different explanation. He says, Nun Rabati, why is it a big Nun? Yadua sheshiur otiot hagdolot gdolim kemo arba otiot hapshutim. So here we're going to learn another rule with regards to big and small letters. According to the Magen Avraham, one of the rules is that the size, the shiur, I don't exactly know what this means, but the shiur of larger letters is like four times a small letter. It sounds like he means literally you should use four times as much ink for a large letter that you would for a small letter. But I mean, that seems really big to me. We have any experts in Safrut with us? That seems like a lot of ink, four times as much. Okay? But basically the point being that every time you see a big letter, it's supposed to be, you imagine it as being four times a regular letter. Now, why is that important? So he says, it gets a little complicated, he says, Sheyam agia lahem gimel chalakim be'eretz Yisrael, because they were going to get three portions in Eretz Yisrael. Why were they going to get three portions? Because Tzlofchad himself was supposed to get a portion, right? Tzlofchad was also a Bechor. So he was supposed to get two portions, right? But then there was also Tzlofchad's father. He came from Chefer. So let's read it inside, actually. Chefer aviv ayagam ken miyotzi Mitzrayim ve'aretz nitchakal. Ah, I see. Chefer and Tzlofchad were alive at the same time. Okay? Chefer and Tzlofchad were alive at the same time, which meant that they were going to each get portions in Eretz Yisrael, separate portions. But when Chefer died, who got his portion?
His children.
But it says, Yagil Tzolchad Chelik Ma Sheyarash Me'aviv Bein Sharachav. He got a portion from his father. So that was one portion that he got. But then Tzolchad Haya Bechor V'Gilo Od Chelik Bechora Me'yushat Aviv. His father was also a Bechor, it sounds like. His father was a Bechor, and he was a Bechor. So he gets two portions from his father, right? And a portion of his own. Yeah, he gets three portions, okay? אם כן, מגיע לבנות צלפחד שלושה חלקים. זה מרמז בנון רבתי. Why? Because there is a nun, the nun itself that belongs there, plus three. In other words, it's an added three nunim in there to signify that that Tzlofchad was supposed to get, that the Benot Tzlofchad got three portions, because that's what Tzlofchad was supposed to get. Okay. What was the last thing I wanted to show you over here? Ah. The Brein of Achai also records this tradition that the Minchat Shai mentioned about the Shara Chamishim, that that Moshe Rabbeinu forgot the Shara Chamishim over here. Fine. The last piece, the last letter that we have that's a little bit strange in the parasha is actually a small yud. And the small yud is seems kind of redundant. Like, why do you have a small yud? Yud is the smallest letter already. But you do. And it's right at the beginning here. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, the yud in Pinchas is small. In the parasha, in the Torah. The yud of Pinchas, that's in the second pasuk in the parasha, there's a small yud in Pinchas. The Minchat Shai says, he quotes the Zohar, Pinchas zeh beyud zeira. But the thing is, it's only in the Zohar. Bilchol ha-safarim ha-misarot ba-alpha beit ha-shalanu mi-otiot zeirot lo nimtza, rak yud tzur yelad chateshi. The only small yud is from this pasuk of Tzur Yelad Chateshi, but the Sifrei Mesorah do not mention the small yud of Pinchas. So here you have actually a significant dispute about whether or not there should be a small yud in Pinchas. If you open up any Chumash, it says Yud Zeira. So in terms of how it's actually done, it seems that the yud is actually small. We'll make this our last thing that we see tonight. Rav Hirsch points out about the small yud. He says, why is it a small yud? So he says something. He says, Efshar sheshmo ha-makari haya Pinchas. His name is Pinchas, of course. Pei nun chet samach. But after what he did, nitosfa yud l'shmo. He got an extra yud. Vu nikra miata pi nachas. Nachas is like nachatz. That pi hevi o lidei kach. Like nachatz, like to push. That it was Hashem's mouth that pushed him to do this. So in other words, pi, like pi of Hashem, is what pushed him. Not exactly sure why it should be a small yud, maybe because it's not part of his name. Maybe that's the idea. And that the yud is just there as a kind of a midrashic note. The last thing is the Rekanati, which is a mystical understanding. But you see this in a few places based on the Zohar, that the Yud of Pinchas is a remez to the Ot Brit Kodesh, right, to a Brit Milah, Kasher Yadata. This is apparently well known, that the Yud is representative of the Milah. V'hine Pinchas kine al shechat'o chat'u b'brit. V'fichach natan lo ha-Yud yiteira. Why did he get the Yud? Because what he was attacking was Zimri ben Salu, who had committed an act in Avera with Ot Brit Kodesh, and that's why he wanted to, that's why it was added, the Yud representative of Mila. I just wanted to tell a quick story that I read online about the Vav Ketia, about the cut Vav, that there was a young rabbi who, you know, he was reading from the Sefer Torah, and he wasn't experienced. And he was reading right at the beginning, and he noticed that the Vav of Shalom, he said, oh, there's something wrong with it. It's cut. It looks like something scraped the Vav of Shalom. So he said, all right, you know, he took this opportunity to teach the congregation. He said, we're going to close the Sefer Torah, and we're going to go into a different one, because this Sefer Torah is Pasul. And he explained, you know, if you have a letter that has part of it scraped away, so it's a Pasul Sefer Torah, and, you know, took it as a teaching moment, but of course he went and took another Sefer Torah out of the Aron Kodesh, and he opened that one, and he's this one's got the same thing, which indicated to him that maybe he was making the mistake and not the Sofer. And so he opened up a Chumash and he found out that, oh no, the Vav is supposed to look like this. This is what the Vav looks like. All right. Wish everybody Shabbat Shalom. And we should all have a healthy week, and we should have Besaros Tovas.
Thank you very much. Shabbat Shalom.